Chapter 17. The two were silent as they made their way to the caverns. Voss felt the caress of the dark side as they entered the open area, and his thoughts were myriad and chaotic. Ventress paused as they approached the blue water of one of the cavern lakes.
"What is it?"
Voss asked. They stood near an artificial pool that had been created on the open, flat-stoned area near the altar. Its water was neither clear nor blue, but a rich, inky black. Ventress pressed her lips together.
"This was where I truly left being a Sith behind, where I became a Night Sister. I was too old and experienced to call the Sleeper, so my initiation was somewhat different."
"What happened?"
She looked up at him, and there was a hint of peace along with pain on her features.
"I was reborn. I went into the waters a Sith and emerged a Night Sister."
"By using magics?"
"Some, but mostly by choosing to leave it behind and being willing to accept the love of my sisters."
Voss touched her cheek gently.
"You never cease to amaze me."
"Well,"
she said, attempting lightness,
"this time you get to amaze me."
He squared his shoulders. "Right. So the sooner this is over with, the sooner we get to go after the Count. And once that's done..."
He kissed her forehead lightly, then stepped back. He held out his lightsaber to her, and she took it. The Night Sisters had no weapons when they faced the Sleeper. Neither would Voss. This was a battle of the mind.
"Take care of this for, the next few minutes, because I'm going to want it back."
"Don't worry. It'll be waiting for you, I promise."
He nodded, then turned and stepped toward the edge of the pool.
"Quinlan,"
she called. He turned to look at her.
"Don't rush this. Make sure you're ready when you call it."
Voss nodded. He had not asked Ventress if she would aid him if he got in trouble, and she had not volunteered. He wasn't sure he wanted to know the answer, and he had no plans to find out. He began with adjusting his breathing, slow, deep, and rhythmic. Voss felt oxygen saturating his blood and being pumped through his heart, gaining the control that Ventress had assured him was vital to his victory over this mysterious and apparently horrifying Sleeper. He opened to the darkness, felt it almost physically curling around him. Voss inserted the aquata breather into his mouth and reached out with his mind. There were many life forms in this water, from tiny single-celled organisms to moderately sized fish and crustaceans. They were simple, uncomplicated, and he brushed their consciousnesses gently and continued searching. Down his mind went, into the depths of the blue, murk waters. Some things hid in caverns, some swam freely. But Voss sensed one life form that was more complex than the rest. More complex and very old. Ancient. It dreamed. Voss understood as he brushed it with the Force that it had been dreaming for some time, undisturbed. He wanted to send it calmness and peace and let it rest, but he could not. Voss steeled himself, and still, willing his body to remain calm, allowed his mind to gradually open to the Sleeper. He felt it stir unhappily, resisting him with surprising strength even in this state.
"Awaken."
It would not. Voss lifted a hand and spread his fingers, calling out to the unseen beast.
"Awaken,"
he demanded, and the Sleeper's consciousness snapped into full presence. It was not sullen or sluggish, but alert and focused, and that focus was on Voss. Voss grunted slightly with the effort, knowing that he could not lose the upper hand even for a moment. He harnessed his concern and twisted it into anger and resentment.
"Rise! I will have it so!"
And it did.
He felt this impossibly old creature stir from its cavern, where it had rested and dreamed dreams unimaginable, and slowly, balefully move upward. A bubble rose to the surface of the thick blue water, popping with a sludgy, wet noise. A second bubble followed, then another. Two huge lavender eyes, each the size of Voss's head, emerged from the water. They swiveled on narrow stalks, seeming to look in every direction at once, then locked onto Voss, standing at the edge of the pool. A wave of resentment that was so powerful it was almost physical buffeted Voss. He didn't hesitate. He harnessed the hatred and hurled it right back at the sleeper, who shuddered.
"I said rise, all the way. Obey me and come on to the land."
For a terrible instant, Voss was certain he had failed. The sleeper did not move. Then, slowly, fighting his command all the way, it did.
It reared up and up,
7 meters long if it was a centimeter, revealing a long, carapace-covered body, quivering antennae, and 4 appendages. The first pair appeared to be sickles as long as it was, tapering to spear-like points. The other limbs were narrow where they attached to its body, expanding into large clubs at the end. This set of legs, the sleeper kept tightly curled. Voss noted all this in a heartbeat, but what astounded him most was how beautiful it was. Its limbs and eyes must have seemed ghastly to a child who had never ventured beyond her own world. But Voss had seen more frightening things. No, it was the kaleidoscope of colors that made the sleeper so visibly remarkable. Every hue Voss could dream, or have nightmares of, adorned it. He had known other species to have eyes similar to the sleeper's, which could see 5 or 10 more colors than he could. But the sleeper's eyes were even more complex, and Voss briefly wondered if this creature was so difficult to subdue because it might be able to actually see the Force. It was an effort to keep his attention focused, but Voss managed. His anger hot, but his body calm, Voss stepped backward, not knowing how much room the thing would take up once it had clambered onto land. Just as it reached the place where he had stood a moment ago, its sickle legs shot out with astonishing speed, impaled themselves into the surface so hard the stone cracked, and heaved its bulk onto land. Voss had assumed the creature was a sort of crustacean, but once it was wholly out of the water, he realized that its lower appendages were not legs, but tentacles, long and shiny, and every shade of blue that the eponymous protocol droid from Sheb's black market shop had known, and probably more. So astonished was he that for just a moment, Voss felt his control waver. The sleeper felt it too, and gathered itself for an attack. Immediately, Voss lifted both his hands and force-shoved it so it slid along the rocky surface, smashing into braziers and pottery. Hatred, cold and pure, wrapped around Voss, and he met it.
"You will obey!"
It fought him for a moment, its massive body rocking back and forth, tentacles and legs flailing.
"Stop!"
The cold hatred brightened with a sharp sensation of pain. Voss's will was hurting the beast. He strengthened his power in the Force, cruel and harsh, and the creature subsided. It tucked its limbs in close to its body, and its tentacles ceased wriggling. Voss took a deep breath, but didn't lessen his intense control. He'd done it, and he hadn't even needed the aquata breather. He pulled it out so he could speak.
"Ventress!"
he called out, not taking his eyes from the enormous, almost pixelated ones of the sleeper.
"I don't need to make it cut off a limb, do I?"
"No."
Her voice was strangely heavy with regret.
"Voss, listen to me, but don't let your attention waver.
He felt a flicker of unease. The creature's tentacles undulated, sensing it, waiting to exploit any crack in his will.
Okay, I'm listening.
You have to kill it.
Voss's shock lasted only a fraction of a second, but it was enough. With a blast of triumphant loathing, one of the sleeper's tentacles whipped around Voss. Together, they tumbled beneath the pool's surface. Voss's face struck the water hard, and his aquatic breather flew from his hand. The tentacle's pressure against his chest compressed his ribs, forcing him to expel air in a rush of bubbles that meant life. His empty lungs clamored for breath, and his internal organs felt like they were being slowly squeezed to pulp. One arm was trapped, immobilized at his side. He could barely see in the milky blue depths, and panic made his heart race. Through sheer will, Voss slowed its beating as he had practiced. Abruptly, he was hauled through the water again to come to a stop less than a meter away from the sleeper's face. Two flat teardrop-shaped scales beneath its eyes turned from sickly green to a pulsing, angry red. Voss realized that the change signaled an imminent attack. Without thinking, only trusting completely in the force, he shoved his free hand toward the second set of club-like legs with enough power that the trajectory of the blow was altered. The strike was faster than he could see. Suddenly, the water around Voss was boiling from the intensity of the shockwave, clouding the blue water with black liquid and ragged chunks of the sleeper's own tentacles. The spots that had been red before now were the color of an angry bruise. It had struck itself, not Voss, with pulverizing force. An ear-splitting rumble of pain assaulted Voss's ears. He fought to keep from wasting his rapidly dwindling supply of air in his own agonized cry as the bubbling, boiling water scalded his flesh. Taking advantage of the sleeper's distraction, Voss used the force to propel himself upward, gasping for air as his head broke the surface and he struck out for the safety of land. Pain shot through him. The sleeper had struck him a glancing blow with one of its razor-sharp sickles, and he could feel it growing maddened from the sudden flow of his blood in the water. He sensed another tentacle reaching for him and whirled, force-grabbing the appendage and squeezing it tight. Again, the sleeper rumbled in pain, its focus on him broken. Voss used the seconds of respite to clamber onto the stone, then turned and seized the creature in the force. He closed his eyes and directed a command with every bit of strength he had, and the sleeper grew still. It was no longer angry or bloodthirsty or filled with hatred. The sleeper was terrified. Voss drew in great, ragged gulps of air, his body straining with tension. He heard Ventress's voice shouting at him,
"What are you waiting for? Kill it, Voss!"
And yet even now, after the battle, he hesitated. The sleeper had no evil in it. It was a simple creature, innocent of knowing wrong from right. It only wanted to be left undisturbed, and when threatened, it had protected itself. What would this unnecessary killing prove?
"Ventress!"
he called, still controlling the sleeper.
"It may be the last of its kind!"
"Yes, and if it dies, a great secret of my clan dies with it. That doesn't matter! We both have to make a sacrifice. You have to do this!"
"It's obeyed me twice. Why do I need to kill it?"
"Because you were sent to kill Dooku, in cold blood if you have to. If you can't use the dark side to kill now, can you do so later, when it truly matters? Or will you let your Jedi compassion destroy everything?"
Tears stung his eyes. Tears, as she had just accused, of compassion. Voss desperately wanted to send the sleeper back to its peaceful burrow, to let it rest and heal from its wounds. Ventress would be disappointed and angry, but he would find another way to convince her that they could kill Dooku without him going to the dark side. It gave him power, true, but at what cost? But in his heart, he understood the distinction Ventress had made. The Jedi had fought Dooku before, and the possibility had always existed that the Count could be slain in such a struggle. What Voss had been ordered to do wasn't just killing. It was assassination. It was murder. And now, Ventress wished him to snuff out the life of a simple beast that didn't have to die. The moment stretched, taut, each passing second draining Voss further. He could delay no longer. He made his choice. He focused on his earlier fear, the helplessness he had felt, and his anger at it. He narrowed his eyes, calling up the hatred and rage, feeling them burst into him, white hot and so very powerful. This was an enemy. This was Count Dooku. Voss extended his hand, slowly, deliberately, taking the time to truly experience the emotions as they translated from thought to action. Die! The sleeper's head snapped back. Puzzlement flowed through it. Then cold, primal, simple fear. So pure, so strong, so liberating. Voss lifted the sleeper from the water, continuing to manifest his emotions into a force energy while simultaneously suffocating it. It suffered as it died. Voss cleared his mind of everything but this moment. As it writhed in agony, its powerful punches and spear-like limbs striking only air. With a final spasm, the great beast crumpled. Voss released it. It splashed into the water, sinking for a moment, then floated partially submerged. Voss stared at it. His body was tingling. His heart raced, but not with fear. With exaltation. So engrossed was he in the sensation of unleashing such power that he didn't hear Ventress approach until her voice said, right beside him, "Quinlan." He whirled, his hand raised for an instant before his mind cleared, and he let his arm fall. Alarmed at his reaction and reeling from what he'd just done, Ventress appeared to understand, looking at him with pride and not a little awe.
"Quinlan," she went on, laying a hand on his arm. "I know that was difficult for you, but it was necessary. You've come so far in such a short time. I'm impressed."
Words crowded his mouth, but he spoke none of them. Not about the sharp delight he had taken in brutally asphyxiating an innocent creature. Not about the desire to do it again, and to harness that power and unleash it any way he chose. He couldn't speak either of the wrenching sadness that permeated him as he realized that something in him had broken, or the delight at having been freed of its shackles. He didn't need to. He could sense Ventress, proud and pleased. Her desire for him only the stronger for the ordeal through which she had put him. She knew what he was feeling. So Voss said just,
"The Jedi have always taught that the dark side is a quick and easy path.
You must be cautious how far down that quick and easy path you go,"
she warned.
"Now that you have tapped into it, it can consume you. It is a delicate balance to strike. Being free enough to feed from it, but remaining your own master."
"Like you did."
"I fought my way back. I almost didn't make it."
Her eyes grew sad, and she slipped into his arms.
"I regret that this is a path you must tread, but it must be done if we are to defeat Dooku."
Voss stroked her short, pale blonde hair. The recollection of his actions unnerved him, and her words were sobering. He stepped back, his hands on her shoulders, and looked her in the eye.
"Dooku is strong, but we will be stronger."
He caressed her cheek.
"Together."
Her face softened into a smile that had nothing of the darkness about it. an expression that Voss knew few had ever been permitted to glimpse.
Together, she agreed, and kissed him.